The following is a teaching by Ivan Apana, founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries, Durban South.
The Lord bless you today. Is everybody happy? Waiting in expectancy to hear the word of God. Amen. Amen. We're speaking about the Elijah revolution, and when it comes to the mountains, we're speaking about Mount Carmel. We've covered Mount Oreb. We covered Mount some parts of Mount Zion and Hebron. We've covered the other parts, other mountains, and we still have to talk about the Mount of Transfiguration, Mount Golgotha, the Beatitudes, and where it took place, the mountain where the Beatitudes took place, and that's the mount spoken of in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Very powerful passage of scripture, and a writer called Bruce speaks extensively about the Sermon on the Mount. And so we pray today that we'll be able to cover some of the pertinent stuff that relates to our 21st century living from those chapters 5, 6, and 7. Amen, amen. But today let's go to Mount Carmel and paint get our minds painted with the picture of the greatness of God. Elijah, according to 1 James chapter 5, verse 17, that Elijah was a man just like us. Is that right, Pastor? 1 Peter 4, James 5, 17 tells us that he was an ordinary man. He was a man just like us, had the same passions, faced the same challenges, had the same turmoil inside us, had the same challenges internally and externally. But he was a man who God chose to use in his context, okay? And we said the following, that he possessed certain qualities. We said in the last days, according to Malachi chapter 5, 4, verse 5 and 6, that this spirit will be the end time spirit that will be released to destroy everything that sets up itself against the knowledge of God. And we know there are so many systems in this world that have been set up to destroy the church, destroy the fabric of our gathering, to destroy everything that constitute our living as the community of God. And so today, we are going to hear and see some things of how God is going to use this anointing called the Elijah anointing to bring forth a revolution. In other words, a complete change. Now, as I said last week, there's a constellation of words that can be grouped together with this word revolution. For example, reformation can go in there. A reformation comes from two words. Diathosis in the Greek means going through or cutting through. It's the same word. We get the English word. Diathosis means, what's the English word? Orthopedic. In other words, an orthopedic surgeon, he straightens out your skeletal system. Am I right? So the Bible says that in the last days, God will release a reformation. So that reformation is taking place right now to reform, to renew, to refresh, and now to make his entrance into the earth. The earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. Matthew 24, Psalm 24 verse 1 and Psalm 15 verse also talks about that the earth is the Lord's. He has given the administration of the earth to the sons of God. But somehow the church has moved away from the responsibility of changing the earth, bringing order in the earth, and the church has gone into a mode of more being involved within the confines of four walls. And we call that the function of the church. That's not the function of the church. We are trained. This is a training center. This is a place where we get grain. But our true full-time job is to impact, influence, and create not a euphoria, but to create an impact that will change the earth. Hallelujah. Because of the virtue of the fact that you and I are carrying the Spirit of the Lord inside of us, every jurisdictional area that we enter into should bring a change to that place. We should, I'm sure the reason why we're not doing that is we are operating on reserve. And our tank's supposed to be full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Come on. You know, I'm sure the Holy Spirit must be viewing what's going on around the earth. But he cannot do anything outside us. Because, see, the Holy Spirit and God are so strict on protocols. They cannot defy protocols. The protocols for the earth is the sons of God are in charge. So the Holy Spirit can only work when you work. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes, you know, people have the notion, why isn't God intervening? No, God will not intervene outside us. So that's why the earth is in a sad state of affairs. Because we are more concerned about servicing people, but we're not interested in impacting. The kingdom is about impacting. Church is the gathering or the human resource used for the impacting. But we are too consumed with so many things that are secondary, that the primary function of us being saved is being lost. But I'm praying today that this church, by the virtue of us absorbing the word of God that's coming from this pulpit, we'll be able to become revolutionaries. Join the Elijah revolution. Come on. And say, we're going to make a difference in the real estate where I'm concerned from Monday to Saturday. I'm working in. Come on. You've got to do something with your salvation story. And it starts with us. We are imperfect. We make mistakes. We go through different phases of our living. Yes, that's human. As long as we have a soul, we're going to have this problem with the spirit realm within us. But God gives us grace to go through the challenges, the hardships, and what we're going through. You don't have to remain where you are. That's why every time the living word comes, it's supposed to be treasured, supposed to be honored, and supposed to be taken seriously. Not just as a sermonette, but as something that will give me life and propel me towards my purpose and destiny. So this anointing is very important and very powerful. You know, it's the only anointing that took on Jezebel. But it could not fulfill, started the revolution against Jezebel, but not could not complete, but anointed two important people in his life. One, Elisha. And two, he anointed Jehu. Jehu had an aggressive spirit. And the Bible says he came and he was the one who destroyed Jezebel. The dogs were waiting down on the ground. And he destroyed Jezebel. She flew through the window and the dog went and fell down. The dogs licked her blood. Now, I want you to know, some of the spirits that we are facing requires a higher level of commitment to God. That's why the Bible says, no, you can't resist the devil before filling the blanks. Submitting to God. You submit to God, you resist the devil, then he'll flee. You try resisting the devil or calling against him or standing against him without submitting to God, you will fail. So submitting to God is absolutely essential, sons of God, this morning. So let's go and look, what is this anointing that is going to cause us to go forward? And we said that our enemies lie in seven areas, in the area of religion, in the area of family, in the area of education, in the area of government, media, arts, entertainment, and business. These are the areas in which the devil, through his agents and his henchmen, have captured these areas. All of these areas are captured by the devil. But the Bible says in Revelation 11:15 that all of these kingdoms will one day become the kingdom of God. Through whom? Through us, the sons of God, that will submit to God, be obedient to God, and we will bring these kingdoms when we understand that we are kingdom citizens. We are kingdom citizens, and our citizenship is in heaven. Okay? So once we understand all of these, It gives us back our true identity. Our true identity as sons of God. We are fighters. We are the army of God. Amen. The Bible will refer to us as the body of Christ. It'll refer to us as the bride of Christ. But it'll also refer to us, we are referred to as the building of God. We are referred to as living stones. But we are also the host of heaven. We are the army of the Lord. And when we are called upon, we have to change our domestic outfits and put on the outfits that will identify us as the army of God. Amen. To be the army, if you ask any soldier when he's called up into the army, I don't know whether any of you have been in the army, but outside his actual fighting, he has to be trained. The preparation stage is absolutely important. In fact, more important than the actual event that takes place, whether it's a war, whether it's guarding a VIP, or whether it's crossing borders, whatever it is, the preparation. So in other words, they are so prepared that as and when they're called, they are ready. So we as sons of God have to engage the preparation stage for the battle that lies ahead of us. You got to be prepared. And what the agents, the textbooks or the manuals that are used for our preparation or the classroom in which we go in is a classroom of the Holy Ghost. He teaches, he guides, he advises, and he gets us ready in the earth because he is the only one of the Godhead that's in the earth at the moment. And he's working with the body of Christ to bring about this revolution and the change and the overall of our systems and bringing back the true Lord over this earth. So let me just, if you are just making some notes, let me just go also to the book of Acts chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. When I spoke about a constellation of words, this word restoration also fits in with the reformation and the revolution that's about to take place. Because in the revolution, the spirit of Elijah is coming to restore all things. And the Bible says heaven will hold the coming of Jesus until. I think that it's a good eschatological position or guidance or indicator of when Jesus will be coming. Heaven will hold him until there's a restoration of some things. No, all things. All things, let's put that. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The word restoration is a word, and I'm going to try to pronounce it. Are you ready? Apokatastasis. 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 And you may have another way of pronouncing it, but I'm pronouncing it from the original Greek. It means restoration of a true theocracy and a restoration of the original intent or blueprint. So what God is doing in the restoration process, he's bringing back what he wants. He's bringing, in other words, you know what they say? You get a line, you get a long line, but when he starts pulling in the line, it's painful. So you may think all is right now, I can do what I want, I can act irresponsibly, I don't have to fulfill my call, my mandate, my blueprint, I can just be a churchgoer. No, that's not necessarily what God wants from us. Okay, you can assess that. But when he starts pulling in the rope, that's called restoration. When he's going to restore all things, when he's going to bring his order, his ways, and show that he is God. Amen. He's been so kind There's a time coming when he's going to show that he is God. And every system of this world is going to bow down. Every system of this world is going to cry out. The Bible says every tongue and every knee shall bow and confess that he is Lord. That stage is coming. Hallelujah. And who's going to be in the front? Who's going to be the ushers in this whole process? The church, the true sons of God. We're going to stand beside Jesus and allow every knee and every tongue to confess and to bow down. This Elijah revolution is going to bring that ultimate process. And so we are all part of it. Now let's look at, see this word, restoration of all things, is it? Therefore God has also exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Three venues, three locations that will receive Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on. And so we are part of that economy, that transaction that will take place when this end time release by the Elijah anointing takes place. So there's a restoration of all things. Everything is going to be restored to his original intent. And the word restoration speaks about theocracy. And I told you so many times, there are different governmental positions even in the church. There is the congregational model. There is a democratic model. There is a theocratic model. There's a monarchy that we have to look at. The kingdom of God is about a monarchy. So we have to look at all these different avenues of theology, covenantal theology, black theology, liberational theology, all of these different theologies that are evident in the world. But all will come together and bow down at one, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And all will be dissolved or integrated on one. That's why God is bringing us back. Theocracy has to come back to the church of Jesus Christ, where the body listens to the head. Where the body cannot have its own way. The body must be aligned to the head. And when the body is aligned to the head, Jesus will come back. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn to this passage of scripture, Matthew 22:44, and then we'll go to our case study and finish off. Matthew 22:44. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So in other words, the word until and the word till has a time frame to it, or it has to do with time. Which means that it's not going to go forever and ever. Whatever is going on in the earth has to come to an end. Is that good news? Amen. All the evil, the wickedness, and all the things that are going on, and all the different ideologies that have received so much of impetus through the powers of darkness are all going to come crashing down. And all of these things will be under the foot of Jesus. And you know, the foot is about, it has to do with the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And we are the body of Christ. Every one of these powers will come under the body, the foot. Hallelujah. And we will have a kind of boldness to the technology of speaking into situations. So at the beginning, God spoke things into existence. Come on. He has given us, sons of God, the same technology to use. That's why Jesus said life and death is in our tongues. Amen. You can speak things into existence. You can speak things out. They make an exit out of your life. You squash it out by just speaking into a situation. And that's why Peter would say, or James would say, how can sweet waters and bitter waters come out from the same fountain? How can cursings and life come out from the first same tongue? So, why? Because the tongue must be prepared for this end time move to prophesy. That's why Elijah was a prophet. He was also apostolic, as somebody said, because he sent his word, and the Lord honored his word. The word sent comes from the word apostolos. He operated on a sent dimension. Hallelujah. Number two, he was prophetic. He could declare things, and even the climatic change situation could change just by his word. Elijah was a man just like us. Which means what he did, you and I can do. So let's purify this tongue. Personal purity is so important this morning. We all get into trouble by saying things that are not right. Sometimes we don't know what we say, and after that we realize that. But let's, beloved, use this organ of change, this organ that's going to be used in this end time revolution, to declare, and it's going to be happen. Are we gaining something this morning? Let's look. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So David is saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So I want you to catch that as a passage of scripture that will shape your and my eschatology, together with Acts chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, and this verse of scripture. The word till talks about, gives us some form of indication when Jesus will come back. And your role, in my role, in crushing every kingdom, bring it under our feet as a body of Jesus. Are you with me, church? It may be far-fetched to some of you, but those that are catching it this morning, you will understand what we mean. So Elijah will first come. He'll raise up that which will destroy the spirit of Baal and the spirit of Jezebel here on the earth. We're going to take on the false prophet. We are going to take on the beast, and we are going to annihilate both of them. They're not going to have their own way all the time. They're destroying so many people right now. Okay, so many of the systems have been set up, but we know the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, the army of God, is going to do the work and bring and present to God everything. The bridegroom is there, and the Lord, the Father, is preparing the bride. We are being prepared to be ready for the bridegroom. I'll tell you something. The bridegroom right now is lovesick for his bride. He's lovesick. And he no longer wants to be able to restrain himself. In fact, he's just waiting to burst through the clouds and to come sweep us, the bride, off our feet. Get the picture? Our Prince Charming will come on a white horse to meet us. Revelation 19, verse 11. But he's not coming for a lazy, spoiled prostitute. He's coming for an overcoming, conquering, love-motivated bride who has made herself ready by fulfilling a mission according to Revelation 19, 7. The Elijah revolution is a catalyst for all these things. Let me give you seven manifestations of Elijah, how he's going to manifest in the earth in these following ways. One, he's going to manifest as a prophet. The prophetic grace is going to come stronger in the last days. In Acts 2:17, it tells us, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Get ready, some of you. You said, I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost. There's no manifestation, but it's not about goosebumps. It's not about falling. It's not about shaking and the jitters. The Holy Spirit is too powerful for all of that. Those are just manifestations, by the way, stuff. You know, when he comes, he will create a position for you to stand and to declare, to decree. He'll hold your hand and he'll make you overcome. He'll open supernatural doors for you. You'll say, scratch your head and say, I didn't deserve this, but he said, I'll give you the best. This is his job. His job is to bring back the earth to the Lord when the church is ready. Hallelujah. So there's going to be an outpouring of his spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Thank you, Jesus. And they shall prophesy. The outpouring of the last days is an outpouring, especially of everything prophetic. Everything prophetic. That's what happened. Number two, in this large anointing, you're going to see not only the prophetic, you're going to see intercession increase. The Elijah revolution will sweep through the church and it'll prioritize prayer to the point that we will truly be called a house of prayer for all nations. There'll be increasing sessions of prayer, not just prayer meetings, but there will be declarations, there will be decrees. It'll go out like lightning. There will be like fire going out. There will be things happening supernaturally. Prayer now will take its rightful place. The fourth pillar of an apostolic culture is prayer. First is the Word of God. When you start loving the Word of God, secondly will be fellowship. Then you'll start to fellowship with God in a proper manner and you'll have the right respect and you'll fellowship with one another. Hallelujah. And thirdly is the breaking of bread or the table of the Lord that speaks about the finished work of Jesus Christ. And fourthly, you'll have a fresh vision and a fresh emphasis placed on the finished work of Calvary. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Calvary will become the starting point of everything we do on the earth. We're not going to Calvary. We're leaving Calvary empowered. Hallelujah. Because of what he has done on the cross of Calvary. Then if you don't have the proper relationship with one another and with God, and you don't love the word, and thirdly, you don't appreciate the finished work of Calvary, no use praying. Because you'll pray amiss. You'll be praying from a void, place of void. So prayer is dependent upon the Word of God. It's dependent upon proper relationships. It's dependent upon understanding and appreciating the finished work of Calvary. If you do all these things, then you go to pray. This is a level of prayer that's going to be reinstated to the church. And I think we want to be part of that. Amen. Amen. We will move beyond second heaven intercession, where we are overly conscious of the dark forces and their strategies, and we'll then step now into the third heaven. Hallelujah. The third heaven intercession is different. We get into the courts of heaven. Hallelujah. And we see and we relate with one who is able to interact with us, God Almighty. So just like how you had in the tabernacle of Moses, you had the first room, you had the second room, and you had the third room. Jesus now, through his finished work, has broken the veil and given us access to the third room, the Holy of Holies, where we can talk directly to the Father. Homes will have prayer meetings. Hallelujah. Children will start to pray like never before. And husbands will start to increase and have the fear of God and start praying. Amen. Something's about to happen that we've never seen before. Intercession will start in a new dimension. Number three, this Elijah anointing is going to be the exposer of Jezebel. The Bible says she drinks the blood of the saints. And she has a cup, a special cup. And in it, she has a special wine to entice, seduce the leaders of the house of God. But we know that she's going to come down in Jesus' name. She's a very powerful enemy. You can't be not ill-prepared or half-prepared when you face this enemy. This enemy is now neutralizing servants of God all over the earth. But God says, hold on. I only need a stump. I only need one molecule of holiness to revolutionize this whole place. You know, when I think of Gideon, God didn't need a big army to bring his purpose to pass. He needed one man who was hiding in the wine press, who was simple and of the smallest clan in Israel. God went to him and used him. God only needs little to accomplish much. When we think of the little boy's lunch, little lunch in the master's hand becomes much. We think of Elisha, how he used the technology of closing the natural sight of his servant. And he said, now, one, two, three, open your eyes. And when his servant opened his eyes, fear was gone and he saw a whole army with them greater than the enemy. Supernatural things are about to happen because of what God, our God is going to step into this. In Revelation 2:20, this spirit of Jezebel, she tells us she calls herself a prophetess and hides in God's house. If she's a prophetess, she must be on our side, the church side. She calls herself, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, this church, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit two things, sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols." In other words, idolatry. So God, this anointing is going to put an end to this spirit in Jesus' name. Number four, the Elijah anointing that we're going to see is going to be a decimator of the prophets of Baal. In other words, all the servants of Jezebel, this spirit of Baal is going to come down. We know that the spirit of Baal controls the monetary systems of this world. And it is known as mammon. And that's why the Bible says you must choose this day whether it's going to be God or mammon. Okay? Because God has no equals. So the Church of Jesus Christ, come on, I want to get you to understand today. Don't believe that your money is bigger than God. Don't believe that your assets are bigger than God. Let me tell you something. All can go in a day. That's why we ask you. God tests our spirits to see, are we able to release our first fruit, our offerings? Can we release something from our pockets? He doesn't need the money. He needs the condition of the heart. For what he's about to do, you can't have yourself not configured for the purpose of God in your heart. We are agents that he's going to use on the earth. So he must make sure that he has the right people. And how he tests us to whether our money as a form of Baal is greater than him. Okay. Number five, he's going to be the practitioner of the supernatural. We're going to see the supernatural. That's why the book of Matthew, Jesus said, be careful for those that will come and do miracles amongst you. They may do the miracles, but it may not be the right method and the right agent that will do that. If you look at Moses went and God told him, listen, you have been striking the rock for 40 years to get water, right? But I want you now not to strike the rock, I want you to speak to the rock. Moses lost his bearings, he could not understand what is it, because he was so used to the past of striking the rock. When he was angry, he would even strike the rock. In his anger, when they put pressure on him, he struck the rock. We got the same result, but the methodology was wrong. The method was wrong. And God said, okay, raise up the next man now. Raise up the next man. You're disqualified. So God is very, 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 very strict in his order, in his purpose, and what he wants. So he's a practitioner. We'll see a practitioner. A lot of supernatural take place. Number six, and there's seven different ways. Number six, we'll see he become the eliminator of ambiguity. What do I mean by ambiguity? Many Christians want two worlds. From Monday to Saturday, they want the other world. Sunday, they want the spiritual world. So that's why he posed a question before going to Mount Carmel. He asked them a particular question in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 24, or 1 Kings chapter 21, 1 Kings 18, 21. And I'm going a bit fast now. We don't want to labor too much, but he said, Elijah came to all the people, say all the people, and he said to them, how long will you falter between two opinions? How long will you embrace both sides, Babylon and what I want to do? How long are you going to embrace ambiguity? When are you going to leave and become pure in your approach to me, pure in your ways towards me, and take me as the only way? When are you going to start doing that? I'm looking for such people. So when we go to the Mount Carmel, we see the outcome of this question, of how he addresses this question with the people. He had to make a demarcation. He had to separate those that wanted both worlds to a pure people that will see him and want only him in their lives and in their ways. So this is how it is. And finally, this anointing will be the anointer of the double portion. We are going to see the rise of many sons in the house that will shift the house of God to another level. What we did as pioneers, as founders, will only take the church to a certain limit. But there's coming another category of people. They could be seated here, or God could be preparing them in the caves. Elijah thought that he was the only man. But God says, I'm preparing a whole company of prophets in the cave that you don't know. That worked for Ahab and Jezebel. God used him to feed these prophets that were hiding. There's a company that God is preparing. Get ready, young people. Get ready, people of God. You could be the person that God could put a double anointing. But let me face you, tell you something. Elisha came with a double anointing. Let me give you a little brief history about this man called Elisha. He was a businessman. And God prepared a businessman to come and one day become the one who will be the recipient of a double anointing. He was a businessman, and when God called him, the Bible says he burnt all his implements. He cut up all his cattle. He was a farmer. He cut up all these things. He fed the whole community, and he left everything to come and follow Elijah. Let me tell you something. If you feel that this is too menial to serve in the house of God, stop. Hear this. This man, Elisha, a businessman, stripped himself of his status, stripped himself of his wealth, and for 20 years, he served the man of God. By what? Just washing his hand and bringing his food. That was all he did for 20 years. But when his time came, he received his approval and he had his double anointing. If all of you today are ready to become one day and you want the stage straight away, you want the stuff straight away, you want the position straight away, you want the status straight away, I've got news for you. Get ready. If you want the double anointing and you're ready to become a recipient, get ready to serve first. The Bible says, he that is abased shall be exalted. Amen. And so, this is very, very important. And sometimes you feel, there's no need for me to be close to pastor. There's no need for me to respect him the way he wants me to respect him. Get ready for what? There's a company of people that God will prepare in this place that will come and build a cordial relationship with the set men of the house, knowing how to serve, knowing how to be available, knowing how to be faithful, knowing how to be teachable, knowing how to be adjusted. That's a company of people God is raising, and is going to install a double anointing, because what he's about to do is greater than what you can fathom. Hallelujah. My time is up. I'm ready to hand the baton over. Is there a man that can stand in the gap?